News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the first day of March, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people. You're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Alex Vanderweil.
And it is 6 minutes after the hour, and we are going to be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use. We are an extended 1.5 hour edition of Sound Bites today.
No, hearing your computer start up reminded me, we created a sound back at the shop. We had a laptop in, and every time you started the laptop up, you heard these birds chirping. You know, pleasant little sounds.
How cute is
that? It's Twitter.
So, yeah, Dan and I, Dan did most of it, all of it. What we do is have the birds play, and then all of a sudden you hear this shell go into a gun. The shotgun blast.
Yep.
And then you hear a bird thud. This thud. And silence.
Because it smacked into the window.
You're right.
Again.
Again, yeah.
Again.
Bob Lonsbury out hunting.
There you go. All right.
It's not Dick Cheney.
Yeah, right. Then it wouldn't have been a bird. All right. Here's the first news story. This is also our poll of the week. Microsoft's Excel spreadsheet program has a zero-day vulnerability that attackers are exploiting on the internet. A zero-day vulnerability is one that does not have a patch and is actively being used to attack computers when it is publicly revealed. Microsoft said on Tuesday that it plans to issue a patch but did not say when. The company's next set of security patches are set to be released on March 9th. At this time, we are aware of only limited and targeted attacks that attempt to use this vulnerability, said Microsoft spokes individual Bill Sisk. We are developing a security update for Microsoft Office that addresses this vulnerability. The vulnerability affects Microsoft Office 2007, Microsoft Office 2003, Microsoft Office 2002, and Microsoft Office 2000. It also affects the following Macintosh products. Macintosh products. Microsoft Office 2008, Microsoft Office 2004, and Mac's Open XML File Format Converter. It was first disclosed Monday in an advisory posted on Security Focus, a Symantec-run website that tracks software flaws. The program's vulnerability can be exploited if a user opens a maliciously crafted Excel file, then a hacker could run unauthorized code. Symantec has detected that the exploit can leave a Trojan horse on the infected system, which is called trojan.mdropper.ac. So that's like the one from Adobe Reader and Adobe Acrobat, which also worked on multiple systems. Hackers have increasingly sought to find vulnerabilities in applications, as Microsoft has spent much effort in making its Vista OS more secure, but not so much in making Office secure, and Office runs on multiple platforms. So our question of the week is the new Excel vulnerability. And your choices are, makes me wary, I'll pretend Macs aren't vulnerable, OpenOffice.org forever, I'm going commando, and what is this Excel you speak of? KISS? What is KISS? So far, we've got 55 answers, and I'm delighted to say that 53% of you are using OpenOffice.org. Now, that's on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. Let us not forget, however, that you are you, and so you would prefer to have more to say than just clicking a button. So when you're done with that, if you go look at the little yellow box underneath the poll and click on Give Us Your Opinion, it takes you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
There you are. And you'll be able to leave an entire post talking about what you think of the latest Office vulnerability. I also want to thank Chris, who every week actually makes me sound like I've reached puberty when I say
AskNick.com.
Very nice.
It's fun.
The voice or the ding?
No. Clearly the
ding. I vote for the ding.
So join us and tell us what you think about that. I'll tell you what. I've been using OpenOffice.org since version 1, which was, and I admit it, a tad painful.
Yeah.
But in the latest version, it's just slicker than puppy poop on a hot sidewalk.
Ooh. Have you seen Symphony, the new Lotus Symphony yet?
It's openoffice.org with some more stuff in it.
Yeah.
And it's from Lotus, for Pete's sake, and everybody loves Lotus.
And it's tabbed?
Aren't they gone?
Yeah. No, clearly not. No.
Yeah. No.
They're actually owned by IBM.
Yeah, so Lotus
and
is
everybody
gone.
Knows, well, everybody knows IBM, but this is the Lotus Symphony product, which was an office suite of its own.
Well, it used to be just a spreadsheet, right?
It started out as Lotus 1-2-3.
Yes.
Then with Symphony, they added a very bad word processor and a really, really, really horrible charting.
Quattro Pro. Bill Gates to take over the market.
They had Quattro Pro.
Right, and they had Quattro Pro, and they added that. And
that
and
was
now
Borland,
right? Well, they sold to Lotus. Everybody sold to Lotus. And what they ended up with was... now it's all openoffice.org based.
Right.
So if you don't really trust the unknown openoffice.org, you can go with IBM and get exactly the same software for exactly the same price, free, and a bunch of little extras if you run the Lotus suite.
Watch for my next article in Computer Link.
There you go, because we have a published author with us who talks about free software every month in Computer Link magazine, Mr. Chris Reich.
Thank you.
So thank you. And
I don't get a sound effect.
Yeah, no, you don't. No, well, that's how
well,
it works.
We'll add one later.
No, but yeah,
right, yeah.
You can add one.
I'll take care of it in post.
Less than 20 minutes, please, all whatever right. That sound effect is. It's going to be like the theme from War.
Some kind of blues riff from a resonator guitar or
there
something.
There you go.
Yeah,
now we're
me.
Talking.
But, Nick, not to put too fine a point on it, but in your news article, you said that these Office products were Macintosh products. They're actually Microsoft products for the Macintosh platform.
Yes, yes, yes. You're absolutely right. You're right. They're Microsoft products that run on the Macintosh platform. They're not from Apple. God forbid Apple ever do anything wrong. You're absolutely
not that
right.
I try to be an Apple apologist, but in this case, just
in this
to clarify,
case, you don't have to be because they're Microsoft problems.
Right.
And we apparently, there you are. And next contestant, please tell them what it was, Johnny.
Well, actually, that
a home of man of rain.
That tends to be a problem quite frequently when people call up and say, "I'm having a question. You know, I'm having a problem with my Microsoft."
Yeah, right.
Yes, you are. Microsoft. What is the next question?
Yes, I'm sure you are. Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah.
You called to tell me that.
It's very. It's
Play
very tough,
Kristen.
Or I'm having a problem with my computer. What happened? What's wrong with it? It doesn't work right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What doesn't work right? The computer! Okay.
No, the problem
what
is
what kind
between...
of technician are you?
You need to call a dentist because I don't pull teeth.
Well, you tell. Yeah. The problem resides between the chair and the keyboard.
Pebcak. Problem exists between keyboard and chair.
Or what some folks call wetware.
Wetware. That's right. It's the loosen up behind the keyboard.
Yeah. Between the ears.
That's well, you know, we do see that a lot, and that's why we always ask you folks, and we'll get to your calls shortly, probably after the break, the way this is going. But that's why we ask you folks, when you call in, please know what your operating system is, which you really should.
How much memory?
How much memory you have, which is easy to find.
How much disk space?
If you go to My Computer, right-click on My Computer, and there's a drop-down menu. At the bottom is Properties. And that brings up all kinds of information, including what operating system you're running, how much RAM you have, all kinds of other stuff. We also ask that if there's an error message, you write it down. That's why they're there. We had some person last week who had a fairly serious problem, had no idea what the error message was.
We couldn't help him.
We couldn't help him because there's no way for us to know what's wrong without knowing what the error message. Now, I admit some error messages are ridiculous. They're just a series of numbers.
But
okay, those don't help anybody, but that's not your fault.
And some error messages tell you exactly what's wrong and how to fix it.
Right.
There's a classic.
Hard drive is full. Erase some files and start again. And then they call and say, my hard drive is full. What should I do? How about you erase some files and start again? Oh, okay, thanks.
Get a new hard drive.
Well, then they always ask us, what files should I erase? Files you don't want anymore. How do I know that? You have to decide.
Yeah, there are some things we cannot help you
with.
Can
I pay you to delete my files? Sure. I have no idea what you want deleted.
Yeah.
I'll delete them all.
Yeah. I had to, with a client, was wondering why he was trying to put in some antivirus software. He says, and this stuff just won't work, so I don't know. You know, you guys say it works so great. I keep trying to install it, and it just won't install. So, all right, well, let me take a look at it. Out of a 40-gig hard drive, he had 128 megabytes free.
Right.
Oh, boy.
And the error message was probably not enough disk space.
Right. Exactly. That's what it said boldly on the screen. But, you know.
And that's cha-ching for Dave. He got paid to erase some file. And part of the security tango is erasing your temp directories and all of that stuff. And that could often free up a lot of space.
What's the other classic story about the guy who went in to install software and there wasn't enough room, so he emptied the trash? And when the user got back from lunch, where'd all my files go? What files? The files I was keeping in the trash.
Right. Oh. Right. Remember, the trash is just that. It's trash. You keep. Let me file this. Let me file my birth certificate here in the trash.
Does Windows still call it the recycle bin, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's
not
really trash.
Well, yes, and that's. But even so, you wouldn't put your birth certificate in the recycle bin.
I grant you that.
So I know a lot of people will put a folder next to it that says almost trash.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure yet, but maybe.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of moments with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, and me, Nick Francesco. It is just nigh on to 17 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. When we come back, your phone calls and more of this nonsense. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
I'm Alex Vanderweel.
At 21 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Back, we're going to go to the phones in just a moment. But first, you should know that just in time for the weekend, social networks Facebook and MySpace were dealing with several new security issues on Friday that could expose personal information and communications from friends. Facebook said it had removed a new rogue application that was spamming users and exposing their information. Before it was halted, the application sent messages claiming that a friend had reported the recipient for violating Facebook's terms of service and offered a link to click to find out more information. Users who clicked the link were providing the app access to their profile and personal information, as well as unknowingly forwarding the message on to everyone in their Facebook contact list. So if you are on Facebook or MySpace, this new thing that says there's been a security violation, ignore it, just like the one that said error check system a while ago. You really want to be very careful of that. People are sending me things all the time. All the time. The kick your friends game or the slap them in the face game or whatever all those things are. Yeah. And they all say, by accepting this, you give us access to all of your data. No, I don't join. Exactly. I don't join any of those things ever.
I'm with you on that.
So don't bother sending them to me anymore because I simply am not joining them on Facebook simply because I have to be. The reality is if you're hoping, it's a form of identity theft protection. You should be you on Facebook. You should be you on MySpace. You should be you on Twitter. Whether you use them or not, lock up your name.
Ah, right. Okay.
Right? Whether you use them or not, lock up your name so nobody else gets them. Same with LinkedIn, which is the professional one. All of them. You should lock up your name so nobody else gets them. All right. On to the phones. Our first caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen, on this sunny Sunday.
It is that.
Yes, it is. Power options properties, running a Dell PC. Turn it on in the morning, and then sometimes I go out of the house for a couple hours. Currently, the monitor does go off after about 15 minutes under the power scheme. My question to you guys, in your opinion, should the hard drive be turned off and also the system standby be turned off?
Nope.
Currently, they're on never.
And that's where they should
be. Turn off. Don't even do the monitor. What I would do is just set those all to never, because Windows doesn't always play well with these power options. What I do is just turn off the monitor.
Yeah, most of the time they sleep pretty good, but they don't turn back on again. Yeah.
Right. The reality is this: if you have a laptop, they are designed to go into standby and hibernate and all of that stuff. Most desktop motherboards don't really do that well, and many people get into a lockup situation when they do that. So I always, for my desktops, I always set all of that to never.
Never, and just manually turn off the monitor if I'm going to walk.
Right, and in the morning after I've done whatever I'm doing and I'm going off to work, I turn off the monitor, turn it on when I get home, turn it off when I go to bed.
Yep. Do you ever turn off your computer, like if you're going to be out of the house for a day or two?
Nope.
If I'm going to be out of the house for a weekend or whatever, yeah, absolutely. But
especially in the summer and thunderstorm season.
Right. Yeah. But on a day-to-day basis, no. And I have an uninterruptible power supply so that I don't even worry about thunderstorms.
Okay.
There you go.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Sure,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Our next caller is Carl from Albion, New York. Welcome, Carl. What's your question?
I'm having trouble putting Service Pack 3, installing it.
Gets
it almost done, and it says access is denied. And then it goes, service installation did not complete, so we change everything back. Now, I had SpyBot. I uninstalled that. I thought maybe that was causing the problem, but it still won't install.
Sounds like something else. One of the other installs got messed up. What you could try to do, instead of installing the whole Service Pack 3, is when you go in there, they'll have an express button or a custom. What I've been telling folks, if they've had, you know, issues in trying to get the Service Pack 3 in, is go into custom. And under custom, you can select all the critical security patches. In other words, it won't give you the .NET and, say, the Media Player 11 and all this other stuff. Just select the security patches and try just updating that. That's the critical thing.
Okay.
It's just getting those service packs in there for the security, you know, of keeping your machine safe. Try that and see if that works.
One way to keep your machine safe is to not install .NET, by the way.
What was the original OS on the computer? One of the big things we've seen with SP3 is how old you started from. So if you had XP Prime and then loaded SP1 and then loaded SP2 and now we're loading SP3, sometimes that's where the problem can be.
Okay. Maybe I've had this for about maybe 6-7 years.
So you might have had the original XP.
Yeah.
And now there's too many updates on top of it. And
that's why I say try doing just the... Yeah, just try doing the securities and see if that'll get you through most of it.
Okay, so I'll give that a try then.
And
okay.
Make sure when you do it, you check the box that says save the old information so I can go back if I need to. Because a lot of people are finding that Service Pack 3 kicks them off the internet and they can't get back on.
And you have to update your other software. You have to update your firewall software and your antivirus software and all your other stuff to be compatible with Service Pack 3.
Right.
Okay, then just make sure I check off to back it up, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Which also, of course, means you've got to have enough space. We talked about that in the first segment. You've got to have enough space in your system. All right, thanks, Carl. Our next caller is John from Greece, New York. Welcome, John. What's your question?
It's Don.
Oh, Don, okay. Apparently. Okay. I can neither read nor hear.
Well,
thank you, George. What's your question?
Exactly. Hey, gentlemen, I've been listening to you for years. This is my first-time caller. I listen
every
Sunday to you guys. Listen, I've got an old design station. It's called a Graphics Advantage, made by Gerber. It's a plotter and whatnot for signs and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if any of you boys have ever worked on anything like that up here in Rochester, because I'm looking for somebody locally that I could count on if this thing breaks down. Right now, everything's working fine, but down the line, this has given me trouble. And I did have one shop that worked on it, but I don't believe they're in business anymore.
What I would say, seriously, I know the equipment that you're talking about.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I've got a couple of folks that have the vinyl machines and that type of stuff.
Correct.
What I would suggest is check with the manufacturer because, you know, if something goes wrong, you want a service place that's, one, going to be able to get the parts.
Right.
So I would check with the company and see if they've got any folks within the Rochester area that are certified because, I mean, yeah, I could, you know, sit there and say, oh, yeah, we can repair it, but then trying to get the parts could be the clincher in it all.
Yes.
That if you have a set of bearings go or, say, a travel wire or something like that that's going to be to the correct specs, you've got to be able to get them from that manufacturer. So I would definitely look into going online or calling the company and saying, hey, you know, the machine's working great, really appreciate it. You know, where should I go if I need something else done on it, a repair or service?
Yeah, talking to a couple guys out there, they say, Don, you're an old dinosaur, throw it in the garbage because you need to update. The trouble is,
that costs money.
Not only that, I guess I can get some good deals out there, but the idea is the design station that I'm working with is an old station that works. The highest I could go with this thing would be on an ME. I can't go into XP or anything like that. I wish I could. Maybe somebody like you could say, yeah, we can rig you up that way. That's one of the problems I got. And looking into that system, what you just said, does the company, I understand, they no longer build these machines, and do they have parts? And again, a buddy of mine who goes to all the trade shows says, I got a feeling you may have to junk this thing. And
well, again, you could always go to eBay, you know, to get some parts.
They might have, I've been digging around their website to see what they have. There's service contracts you can buy now, but for an out-of-date printer, you may have trouble.
Yeah.
One of our customers has a vinyl cutter that only works on DOS. And it boots on a floppy disk. There's no hard drive in it.
Oh, wow.
And we're trying to get it to hook up to their new Macs because the version of AppleTalk in DOS was too old. So I somehow I digging I love the internet. I found the Microsoft IP networking for DOS. And was able to load TCP IP in DOS.
Wow.
And then the Mac could talk to it over SMB.
Wow.
In fact, the last time we had to tear the thing apart, we had to blow all the dust out of it because the floppy drive wasn't reading anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, Don, your friend may be right, actually. But
yeah, it's scary. Last but not least, could you both, you and Steve, give me your phone numbers, or could I do that off the air?
My number is 442-4843. It's Enright PC.
And it's
4843.
And right. MacF by Jesse Group, 924-1920.
924-1920. Thank you very much, guys. Great show. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
There is a place in East Rochester called ABC Electronics. I know they used to get into fixing a lot of the obscure printers and that type of stuff. They were great for working on
the
odd stuff.
They just moved over to Railroad Street.
Yeah, pen plotters.
Dispatch Drive near Railroad Street.
Okay, but they would work on all these weird printers and all that type of stuff.
All right, we're going to take another break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Wright, Alex Vanderweel, and me, Nick Francesco. It is 32 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites, only and exclusively on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Wright.
I'm Chris Reich.
And Alex Vanderweel.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Two important things. First, Ron called in and said one of the answers for Carl, who was having problems installing Service Pack 3, got an access denied, is to try installing it in safe mode, which for those of you who are Linux fans is like single user mode.
Sometimes installers don't like safe mode.
Yeah, a lot of them don't.
Well, I don't know, but that's his answer.
Yep.
Interestingly, actually, I had several questions about this over the week. Buried in President Barack Obama's budget blueprint for 2009 is a new but undefined spectrum license user fee that would increase from $50 million in 2009 to $550 million 4 years later. The budget blueprint, which was released Thursday, provides no more details about the fee. Despite some speculation to the contrary, however, it may not be a fee on wireless voice and data spectrum, which is what I got all my calls about on Friday, but on, and like, why would they think I would know? Oddly, President Obama has not yet really called me for my opinion on anything yet. I know.
He didn't even send you the memo?
No.
He's probably in the mail.
It's probably stuck in his BlackBerry somewhere. But the speculation is that it's on the radio and television stations, the spectrum used by radio and television stations.
But it could be also on the cell phone companies, which use part of the spectrum.
Right. And of course,
not necessarily the user.
And the other thing is, it's one line on page 126 of the 142-page budget blueprint.
And so if this were a political show, I would rip into that story so hard.
I know.
But I'm biting my tongue.
Good for you.
Did we talk about the ISP logging initiative that some congressman is pushing? They want all ISPs to log all entries so the cops can come and weed through your logs whenever they want.
Yep.
But the way it's worded, it means that any home user with a router who is now providing internet service to multiple computers is an ISP, and you must log all of your entries yourself.
As soon as they want to tell me how much they're going to pay me to do that.
Yep.
That's right.
The
ISPs are saying, too. The ISPs are saying the same thing. They're saying, look, if you, and it's another unfunded initiative, and if you can't pay us to do that, I don't know how we're going to provide
the storage it would take and the manpower it would take.
Well, and it's not just people, it's storage and everything else. So, and then somebody's got to write reports to look through all that stuff, and somebody's got to read those reports.
And 60% of it is spam.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And 99% of it is spam these days. All right. This is Sunday. We don't do the politics.
My tongue is bleeding.
You may bleed all you wish. Just don't get it on the desk because we'd have to clean that up. Our next caller is Bill from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
Hi, good afternoon. I have several computers over the years that have had crashed hard drives, and so I have, and in most cases it was no problem because I had my systems backed up.
Mm-hmm.
But I have these hard drives, and ever so often I remember a file that I may have not backed up, and I'd like to go back and get some of those. And it's not an urgent matter, but one I thought I would do is buy a external hard drive case and hook up those to put it in the external case and then hook it up to the USB on a good system and then run Recova or get data back. Or
well, if you just hook it up to the basic USB, it'll see it as, you know, another hard drive. And in there, you can then go into the documents and settings and usually go into that user and pull all your documents off or any other folder.
Says, yeah, but if the hard drives were crashed...
Right, depends on how badly it's crashed. If it's just the Windows won't load, then you can put it on another machine and look through the files. If the directory is hosed or the drive has physically crashed...
Then let me suggest SpinRite.
Yeah, from GRC Research.
GRC.com. They have a product called SpinRite, which is...
magic.
Magic. Mm-hmm. Absolute 100% magic. It will restore hard drives. It'll actually restore them while it's running them, which is not possible, and yet they do it.
And it's like 30K.
It's
terrible.
Steve Gibson, still my hero. Still my hero. Yeah. He writes everything in hand-coded assembler. It's the tightest, cleanest, fastest, smallest code you can begin to imagine.
Actually, no,
although it's magic, it's not miraculous. If the motor won't spin, it still can't
recover. Right. What's crashed is the hardware, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember hearing about on a recent podcast where he was upset that the new version of SpinRite went to like 65K and had to take another cluster.
Yeah.
So is it a good idea to use these external hard drives, or am I better off to hook it up to a ribbon and then go into
the BIOS?
It depends on your experience.
Yeah. Right?
You know, I mean,
internal's
we're not going to sit there and tell you to
easier.
Go ahead and do this and that only because your level of comfort. You know, I'm not going to sit there and tell folks, oh, yeah, go ahead and go into the registry and that. You will never hear me tell folks to go into the registry because I don't want to be responsible, nor Nick or Steve, I know, don't either, want to be responsible for you messing up your machine, getting electrocuted, or anything else.
How would you do it, Dave?
Yeah, you see the computers in Dave's shop is just a motherboard sitting on the desk.
Yeah,
I
literally have an open-air systems that I pull it out, and I can easily hook it up. No problem. We do it on a daily basis. But for the average Joe, if you know you got some comfort level in doing it, that's not a bad idea. You buy an empty case, like you say.
I'm more of an average Bill.
Okay. Well, then you go ahead, and that's good too, though, Bill. And, you know, try it because, worst-case scenario, if none of them work, you can always go out, buy another hard drive, put that in the case, and now you've got an external backup unit.
Okay, very good. What would you recommend for an external hard drive case? Do you have any favorites?
There's a lot of them out there.
And they're all pretty much the same.
I mean, yeah, they're pretty much all the same. You know, you just want the bare case, and
you can get USB ones, you can get FireWire, you can get eSATA, you can get combination ones. The latest fad is quad.
Well, the likelihood is that he's got USB on his machine, though.
Right.
Well, the key thing, though, here's the thing, though. Watch when you buy the cases, because they have them for SATA drives and IDE.
2.5 and 3.5.
And you're going to want to see what size. If you've got the standard hard drives in your machine, say they're all IDEs, you want to make sure you get an external case that's IDE.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, very good. I got that.
All righty.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Bye-bye.
Have fun. Our next caller is Rick from Irondequoit.
Hi, guys.
Welcome, Rich. Good. How are you?
All right, just a quick question, I guess. I'm looking.
Questions are always quick.
It's the answers that take an hour.
I knew I was getting that answer.
We didn't let you down.
I'm looking into a new laptop through Dell, and it's got Home Vista Premium on it and all that kind of good stuff, and I was just wondering if that's going to be okay for the next round going up.
Well, it's going to be either Home or Premium.
Okay. But I'm saying, like, when Microsoft comes out with their new operating system,
it should be September.
Oh, okay.
Or by the millennium.
This machine here that I'm looking at is a 2.0 gigahertz machine, Pentium dual.
Mm-hmm. How much memory?
Let's see here. There's 3 gig for the RAM, and then I think
dedicated graphics.
500 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
What else?
What about the graphics? Is it dedicated or shared?
You know what? I don't know that. Back and look.
Yeah, it depends on whether or not, you know,
shared is cheaper, dedicated is faster.
Right, your best bet is to get a nice NVIDIA or ATI graphics card. I prefer NVIDIA. That's just me.
This says Intel Graphics Media.
Yeah, that's built into the motherboard. What you want to do is ask them to put in an NVIDIA card. That'll cost you another hundred and couple of bucks, but you'll get better response from the graphics card, and it won't take any of your 3 gig of RAM away.
Okay.
But, yeah, well, Vista Home is going to be supplanted by Windows 7, whatever they end up calling it.
Is that going to be okay for wirelessly doing stuff and everything else?
Yeah. Vista works fine wirelessly.
Okay.
Make sure you get a decent wireless card in there.
I was thinking about going with a Linksys N card.
Then you better have a Linksys N router.
Okay. They're not back. Someone told me they were backwards compatible. Like, I have a G system now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, they are backwards compatible to G and B. However, every company's N is slightly different than every other company's N because N standard hasn't been finalized yet.
Oh,
so
okay.
If
well,
you
it,
get,
it'd be all Linksys anyway.
Right. If you get a Linksys, a new Linksys router, a new N router, make sure it's a Linksys N router.
Okay.
Is the idea there.
Okay.
But other than that, everything you've said is fine. The reality is that Vista is not the best operating system ever. Theoretically, Windows 7 will be much better, but you will need Vista to upgrade to it. The rumor is, and right now it seems to be true, but remember, Windows 7 is only in beta. The rumor is that you will not be able to upgrade from XP to Windows 7.
Oh, okay.
You will have to upgrade to Vista first, and then from Vista to Windows 7.
Okay.
So you will have to buy a copy of Vista to upgrade to Windows 7.
Or just wipe out your machine and start
fresh. Right. But if you want to upgrade, then you're going to have to do it that way.
Right.
Of course, we never recommend you upgrade. We always recommend that you just go.
Sure.
It's Microsoft's way of telling you to start fresh anyway.
Right. All right, we're going to take... Go Ubuntu, exactly. Going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, Meenik Francesco. It is 47 minutes. I almost said Rob Litton. 47 minutes after the hour. Soundbites 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Wright.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
At 51 minutes after the hour, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again to grab your footy jammies. Get a mug of hot cocoa, sit Indian style, and a semicircle around the rocking chair. And if we can slap him awake, because he's been in a coma for a while now, it is time once again, and it's frightening to say it, for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave!
Oh, you don't have to worry. I am primed. I mean, it's been, a month and a half?
Be afraid.
Yes.
Be very afraid.
Parents, where the double H-E hockey sticks is your backbone. When I never came so close to wanting to slap a kid around. And what I'm talking about is when you let...
And you had ones of your own.
Oh, yes. And I mean, when a small little... this 13-year-old pimple-faced kid comes in and is telling his mother, well, no, it can't be done that way. What I basically
Not
did...
Not that we're biased against kids with pimples.
No.
We've gone through that one.
Yeah. But this kid, no. He was so arrogant. And I'd like to know, and this is why I say parents need to grow a backbone, is where do kids dictate what is done with a computer? I say when they actually fork out the money and actually pay for it. Until then, it belongs to the parent. And you parents have to grab a backbone. Because when a kid sits there and tells you, well, I set up the security, and so I'm the administrator. And I turned to the kid and I said, not any longer. Well, I'll change that. I said, no, you won't. And the mother and father is just standing there. It's like, no, I put on a boot-up password.
That's right.
Well, I'll get around that. Good luck.
And some of this is
but the parents don't say anything.
Because kids know computers. Parents are afraid of computers. And so the kid knows how to work it.
But
so
the last thing I
knew, understand.
Sitting down with a kid and asking him, oh, how do you do this? It's called learning.
Right.
And, you know, these parents that just sit there are so dumb-faced, I'd like to slap them, too.
I know. We had a woman who called up and said, I don't know how to control my kid on the computer. Well, you change the password and you don't... But then he might be angry.
Too bad!
Okay, he's angry.
But when, like I
Unless
said...
Unless you've also stupidly given him firearms, not a big deal. Yeah, the whole point of this... And excuse me for jumping
on
your end.
Join the club. My kid,
I love my daughter, and I love her to death, and I will do anything for her, and she is my kid, and I love her. But you know what? I am her friend, but that's not important to me. She's got 100 million friends. She's got one dad, exactly. And that's me. It's my job to be the dad, not to be your friend. If I can be both, that's great. But if I have to make a choice, it's being the dad. And that's the way it works. Be the parent. Kids have a million friends. They only have a couple of parents. Maybe they got four. But
well, like I say, what blew me away on this one was the arrogance of the kid and the parents just standing there.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to slap the whole... All three of them need counseling.
Yep, yep, yep.
No, this is ridiculous.
I don't know where my kid went wrong. Your kid didn't go wrong. You went wrong. Sorry. It's the way it works. Yeah, the reality is you send your kids out into the world and you don't have much control over them anymore sometime after the fifth grade. I get that. But even so, if you gave them the foundation... You know, you've got at least a 50-50 shot.
Well, there was even a commercial where, I forget what they were advertising, you know, about computers and that. And they were saying how easy. And the one little kid goes, yeah, they're so nosy. Because they said, you know, they could watch what she's doing. Right. And they go, yeah, they're so nosy. It's like, yeah, kid, until you pay for it, it's not yours.
That's right. That's exactly
And this
right.
is where I don't understand the whole
mindset.
Well,
when my daughter wanted her own computer... I said, here's the deal. First, I have to be able to administer that machine, so I need to know your password. Secondly, if I ever don't know your password, the machine goes away. Third, I don't know that I ever will, but I reserve the right to go and look at anything on that machine anytime, anywhere. She wanted to join MySpace. I said the same thing. You have to make me a friend so that I can see your stuff. Facebook, same thing. You know, I'm sorry, but until you own your own computer in your own home on your own network connection, this belongs to me.
Yes.
Just like your bedroom.
Just like my bed. It's like the same thing I tell my faculty at the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology. They always say, well, my computer. No. My computer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the system administrator. You're just using a machine I own.
My son.
And in reality, the Saunders College owns it.
My son tried to pull one last night. My wife and I were going out to dinner, and he said, oh, I'm in charge now, so he can boss grandma around, because I live here, and I'm part owner when you're gone, right?
What payment did you make?
And you take out the lease, and you go, let me see, Matthew, no.
I'm just going through the canceled checks, and I don't see your name on
it. You have to listen to what grandma says. You're not in charge.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of kids, though, they are just getting so darn arrogant. And like I say, got to be put back in their place. And I don't mean this in a malicious way or anything else. There is, from when I was growing up, there was respect to elders. And that, it sadly, is gone, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and part of that is because there are so many parents today who simply don't deserve any respect. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah.
I'm with you.
It's a two-way street.
But, and you know, get off my damn lawn, because I'm old now. And I admit it. You know, I love my daughter. I want to be her friend, and I will always love her, but I'm her parent first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works, and I don't really care what anybody says.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. All righty.
Well, I told you, it was a month and a half of cooped up, and this week, that one just set me right on over the top, because, you know, I try to help folks, you know, and try to keep it safe for them. And then, you know, they'll be the first ones to come back and say, it's infected again, or this is happening or that.
Well, Dave, what would you have the parents do?
Well, basically, just keep it the way I've got it set up, that they have the password. And don't give it to the kid. I've got the kid as limited user, and that's the way it should stay.
And any time the parent can't log in as administrator, you turn off the machine, and it's done.
Yeah.
If the kid changes the password, you turn it off. It's done. No
more
computer.
This has got even a boot password. So, I mean, that kid can't even come home, sneak home, and try to hack around in it. It's got the boot up password.
As long as the parents have a backbone and don't give the kid the boot password.
Yeah, all right, just this one time. And then, you know, then they're bringing it back in to me to change it again, and the thing is all infected again because there was a lot of junk on it. I mean, just on the bench alone, we took off close to, 3,087 virus/Trojans.
Yeah.
And that was just on the test bench. And then there was another over 6,000 spyware programs and other programs that we had.
Oh, did you hear about the guy this week brought his computer in because it was running badly. It kept shutting down. He thought he had a worm, so he brought it in. It was a worm, an actual worm that had crawled into the back of the computer, wrapped itself around the fan, killed the fan, and so the machine was shutting down from the heat. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That'll take it.
Grace Hopper was right. There's a bug in the computer.
That's exactly right.
I don't know, worms, bugs?
All righty, kiddies. It's time to wipe out, rinse out your hot cocoa mugs, take off your footy jammies, because if we can hold him down and inject him with his tranquilizer, it's time to put Uncle Dave back up on the shelf for another week. We are going to take a quick break while Wham brings you all the news and the weather and the sports and all the really important things you actually listen to the radio for. And then when we come back on the other side, all of the people who have been so patiently waiting on the phone, we will get to all of you. And, of course, we've got more news and all of that other stuff.
You and Jim.
With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Alex Vanderweel, me, Nick Francesco, and you. If this is the greatest computer show in the known universe, I will keep saying that. It keeps being true. Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. It's the third half hour of this week's Soundbites. We're going to go right to the phones because you people were so kind to wait through the last segment. Our next caller is Art from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Art. What's your question?
Hello, guys. Thank you very much. I have a XP machine, which I'm using a laptop for over 3-4 years, and it's getting a little old, and want to get a new one, and the new ones have Vista, and they could revert back to XP. I played around with Vista, and it's so difficult for me to understand, and it's so non-intuitive and all the rest of it. I prefer to have my XP. So I have Ghost. Can I Ghost my machine at this point? And then, and by ghosting, I mean make an image of my machine, format the new machine I would buy, let's say, whatever it is, and then replace it with Ghost. Would it operate?
Maybe.
Ah.
Many new computers have hardware in them where the company has not made XP drivers.
Yeah.
So the computer might work, but your sound card may not work, your Ethernet card may not work, because there are no XP drivers for it.
I see. So even if I format the new one and clean out everything, it still would.
You got to first check to see if you can get the XP drivers.
Or just buy a computer with XP on it already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. If that's conceivably possible in another few months from now, who knows what's available.
Right.
But I do think, in other words, it should work, but it may not.
We're not going to promise it works. And then I'm not entirely certain of the legality of that. We aren't going to recommend that you do it for legal reasons either.
You would have to literally transfer the license from the laptop. And it's also, if it depends on if it's an OEM license and trying to move it over to something else.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you're going to have to buy another copy of XP.
I see what you mean.
And really, at this point, I don't know that that's going to do you a lot of good. In general, you might be better off waiting for Vista to disappear and System 7 to come along.
Thank you, guys. What about the activation? Would it also create a problem with activation?
It could very easily, because
you'll likely have to call Microsoft.
Right, and that's the reason Dave said if it's an OEM, you may not be able to do that.
Thank you, guys. I have a pleasant day, and I hope you get out in the sun soon.
Thanks.
I still think, though, that System 7 is going to push that out quick, because so far the beta has been pretty reliable. I think you even said.
And pretty quick.
Yeah, it loads fast. So, I mean, if they can keep that without screwing that up, that's the key.
Yeah, well, good luck.
I think they can roll it out and maybe have something, because that's what they're bleeding right now. They're bleeding a lot of red ink because Vista just isn't selling. Nobody wants it.
Nobody wants Vista, and people aren't upgrading Microsoft Office, and Office is really
money's
the big
tight.
Cash cow. People don't want to spend money for something they don't need. And XP works. They're the victim of their own success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, XP works. Vista doesn't. People are sticking with XP.
Well, that's just like when ME came out and they had Windows 98 Second Edition. Second Edition worked a lot better than ME.
Right. Well,
anything
Abacus has worked better than Abacai. Our next caller is Gil from Webster, New York.
Hi, guys. Good show as always.
Thank you.
So I recently moved to Webster and took my machines with me.
Where life is worth living.
Life is definitely worth living up this way, even with a lake and the snow. So I have two machines, a Linux Ubuntu machine and a Windows machine, and they're both plugged into a UPS power supply. And I've had a little bit of problem with the Linux machine dying kind of randomly on and off. And what I was curious about was, now my UPS is not the kind that runs the machine continuously. It switches over when the power fails or flicks.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you know, it has a 480-watt power supply in it, and it's probably not terribly loaded. So I was just curious to get your reaction as to, you know, these things sort of happen on and off and fairly infrequently. Could it be that the power supply is a little flaky and getting old, or could it be?
It could certainly be the power supply. It could also be if your UPS is not one of the runs that runs continuously. What do they call that? Can never remember the name.
Standby.
Standby, I think.
Yeah, whatever.
Standby versus voltage regulation versus line conditioning.
Right. The one you want is line conditioning. It runs constantly from the battery,
right,
and the power, the mains, charges the battery all the time. With the ones that have to switch over, there's a certain amount of switch over time. And if your power supply is old, it may not make that switch. It may not live through the switch over time.
Do you hear the UPS switching back and forth from battery to AC?
Well, actually, it beeps, so...
Right, so you do hear it.
Yeah, you do. You get an indication, but when it dies, it doesn't always beep.
It may just be that it's... How old is that particular machine? A lot of people are putting Ubuntu on older machines.
No, actually, this is a fairly new machine. I actually bought a new machine and upgraded my CPU in my Windows machine and moved it over, bought a new motherboard and stuck the old CPU, which is a dual Intel processor. It's not an old CPU.
I'm not talking about the CPU. I'm talking about the
motherboard
power supply.
And the power supply is probably one of the older things.
There you go.
I keep upgrading my boxes as, you know, I clean out the old box and put it in.
Maybe time for a new power supply.
Right. It's like Abraham Lincoln's grandfather's axe that had 5 new heads and 3 new handles, but it's still the same axe.
Okay. So you think it might be just power supply would be the first shot?
That's the first thing I'd think of, absolutely. I mean, if it actually shuts right down, it's probably... Check to see if the fan is actually on in that thing. It may well be that what you've got is the fan is dead or dying or just slow.
The fan, and the power supply.
And the power supply, and then the power supply is overheating and shutting down.
Yeah, could be. Okay, well, thanks for the info.
Sure, thanks, Gil.
And keep it lengthening your show. I like the old longer show better. I think we all miss it.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Our next caller is Jim from Irondequoit. Go ahead, Jim, what do you want?
Hi, guys.
What do you want?
I don't know what that meant. I was hoping it would just go by. But no! Steve,
what can we do for you today?
What's your question, Jim?
Okay. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I have an XP Home. It's an audio computer, actually. I use it for audio recording. And I've had it a while. And I kept it offline most of the time and just went on for updates for my audio program and a few other things. Recently, I put on a video program to do just some little bits of video here and there. And to do that, I needed to add the Service Pack 2, and I just did the updates and even the Service Pack 3 and all that stuff. The results, though, is, the computer works pretty well, but it takes forever to start up and things that it had problems with before. And I'm wondering if there's a website or something that would give me a clue of how I can go in and clean off a lot of the
stuff. Well, shocking you should ask, Jim.
Okay.
What you want to do is go to securitytango.com. Thank you.
Okay.
And click on the Let's Dance button, print that page out, and then follow it step by step by step. It will take a while to do, but the theory is, and I've included, finally, I've added what you call it.
The malware bytes.
And super anti-spyware and all that stuff. So it takes a long while to do, but that should clean out your machine. If, in fact, it doesn't, well, there's two things here, Jim. It may well be a virus, but it could also just simply be Service Pack 3.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Got going in the startup tab.
Right. So definitely, you know, you've been online. You were online for quite a while downloading and installing Service Pack. So I would suggest you definitely dance the Security Tango at securitytango.com.
Okay.
But beyond that, I would suggest that you make sure you have...
One of the other things that I could try is going into, if you go to the command line, go start, run, and type in msconfig, In MS Config, it'll open up this window with a bunch of tabs. The last tab is Startup. Now, in there, if you've got things loaded in like Java, Real Player, and some of these other utilities that you know you don't need or want, say like Skype or some of this stuff, you can uncheck them.
Okay.
And then this will not load them at startup.
Right.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I've seen folks with so much stuff being loaded. Yeah. My Murphy, it's a wonder the machine even booted.
Yep.
Yeah, because before, basically, I'd turn it on, it would turn on. Very, very little anything. I'm guessing it was more from what was downloaded from the service packs and
That's
stuff.
Very likely. Listen, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Alex Vanderweel.
And in 19 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we are going back to the phones. And our next caller is Hugh from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Hugh. What's your question?
Hey, I had a severe virus problem with my PC, and I took it to Dave's shop, and he fixed it. There's no problem there. But I got home, and I have an external hard drive. When I plugged it in and ran ABG, all of a sudden I'm finding all this stuff on the external hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
So I unplugged there's nothing on there that I can't replace. And is there a quick and dirty way of just cleaning off that hard drive and starting over?
Yeah, what you want to try doing here is go into the control panel and under, let's see, if we go into the control.
Well, if you don't care what's on the drive, just right-click on the drive, go to Properties, Tools, and Erase.
Yeah, I was going to say, under Administrative
the
Tools.
The Disk Administrator, yeah.
Yeah, if you go under the control panel, under Administrative Tools, and you will then go under Computer Management, and under that, then there is Disk Management. You can then click on that external drive. You'll see it pop up on the lower right-hand thing as a drive letter, and you can right-click on that and safely format it there.
And make sure you got the right drive, though.
Okay. Yeah.
Although even that's the big thing.
Is Windows even dumb enough to erase itself?
I've never really tried it, honestly. I've simply never tried it. It's probably best.
But, yeah, give that a shot, Hugh. If you run into an issue, give the shop a call on Monday.
Okay.
We're there to support you.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're quite welcome, sir.
All right. Thanks. Our next caller is Ron from Webster, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yes, I've been having a problem with my emails. I use Outlook Express, and when somebody or some business sends me an email with some coupons on it and it says click here, it doesn't do anything. I can't connect
to
it.
That's on purpose.
Yeah.
One of the limited security features that Outlook Express has, because it's so full of security holes, most people shouldn't use it, but one of the limited security features it has is not letting you click on links because of so many bad messages that come through with bad programs hiding
embedded
in links.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a security feature that Microsoft is now insisting on in their system. Really, you need to be awfully, awfully careful of those to begin with. Most of them are not legitimate.
Oh, okay.
So you've actually been protected,
despite
yourself. The best way to do that is if you get, for example, Barnes & Noble, and it says click here. Well, just go to the Barnes & Noble website.
Okay.
And get your coupon that way. Log in because you've got a username and password there. Because otherwise, how did they know to send you a coupon?
Yeah.
And then you log in with your username and password, and you can see the coupon and print it out or download it or whatever you're going to do. But to go to an unknown page that just randomly popped up in your email is a very, very dangerous thing to do.
Well, I was going
to
say, he could be getting, you know, like you said, he's not seeing anything. Well, that's the whole, like you said, it's the whole purpose, and he might have some Trojans or spyware on there.
Oh, he won't let you go to anywhere anymore.
Oh, they
stop They completely block it.
They don't tell you.
Wait a minute. How did they screw up and get that right?
Yeah, I know it. One thing they got right. Well, it ports people off tremendously, like Jim.
Yeah.
Something's broken. It's not broken. It's actually fixed.
Yeah, because it used to work before.
Yes, it did. And so many people were getting viruses that now they don't.
Yep, all the bad guys were using that same feature to put bad stuff on your computer.
I see. Okay.
So two suggestions is to stop using Outlook Express and Explorer. Go to something like Thunderbird, which has a lot more security built into it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get email like that, go to the web page of the company it came from and download it directly.
Oh, okay.
So but not by clicking on the link.
Yeah, don't click on the link in the email. Open your web browser yourself and type the address for that company.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Sounds good. Thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Our pleasure. You're, thanks, Ron.
I love your show. You're great.
That's what we love to hear. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Our next caller is Jim from Brockport, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
I had a spy bond, and it worked good for a while, and then I thought I had it for life, but then it ran a year, and I was wondering if there's any free spyware out there.
Sure is.
SpyBot is free.
Yeah, SpyBot is still free. Spyware is even
As long as
better.
You got the real SpyBot. There's the SpyBot Search and Destroy, which is the good one and free. And then there's the SpywareBot, which is the bad one and installs more spyware in your computer.
What you really want to do here, Jim, as I suggested to someone earlier, go to securitytango.com.
Okay, I did write that down.
There you go. And again, click on the Let's Dance button, print out that page, and follow it step by step. And in fact, that page has links to all the real software. All of the things that I list on that page have free versions. You may have to look around a little to find them. They discourage you from getting the free version. You can understand why. But you can find free versions of all the stuff that I recommend. I'm a big believer in free. Legally free, and you can definitely get your machine cleaned off for free. Okie doke.
Hey, so what was the free spyware one that you mentioned, the SpyBot?
SpyBot, yep. Adaware.
Super Anti-Spyware.
AVG, Avast, they're all listed on that page.
Go there.
On the Security Tango Let's Dance page.
Because then we can assure you that when you click on that link, it's going to take you to the proper place.
Yeah, that link is clean.
Okay, great, thanks.
Thank you.
Unlike that other gentleman that was sitting there trying to click on links and who knows where he was going to go.
Exactly. Our next caller is Harry from Fairport, New York.
Well, welcome, Barry.
Barry?
Barry.
Yeah,
Barry. Sorry, Barry.
Hey, question. I have a Dell studio laptop that I'm sending back because it's a piece of garbage and it's got Vista on it. I'm going back to my old Inspiron XP machine. I put Bitdefender on that. And it seems to be running slower. Could that be Bitdefender making it run slow?
It certainly could be.
Yeah,
it
depends.
Particularly, what were you running before that?
AVG.
Oh, yeah. Bitdefender is slower than AVG. What didn't you like about AVG?
Peer-to-peer. It doesn't cover peer-to-peer.
Try Avast.
Avast?
I think Avast covers peer-to-peer, I think. Avast covers dang near everything.
Mm-hmm. I love the little warning. Your virus database has been updated.
Exactly. I love that.
Okay.
Yeah, the one thing you have to be aware of about Avast, it does talk to you.
Okay.
It is
cool.
It is so cool. But every once in a while, virus database has been updated.
Do you have experience with Bitdefender?
I do. I prefer Avast.
Okay.
That's nothing wrong with Bitdefender, but Avast does seem to make my computer a little more responsive. And Avast, I don't remember honestly about peer-to-peer, but it certainly covers dang near everything.
Okay.
There is a free version. If you go to the Avast website, there's the gray bar at the top that says Avast, then a white bar under that, then a gray bar under that, and one of the choices on that second gray bar is free software.
Okay.
So make sure, Yeah, like I said, they don't make it that easy to see, but they do.
Because they want you to buy the commercial home version.
Mm-hmm. And that's fair.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You know, if you can afford it, and these are parlous economic times, I understand that. But if
they
you
are reasonably priced.
They are reasonably priced. And if you can't afford it, and I urge this to everyone who's listening, if you can't afford it, then you should definitely pay for all the software that, you know, you can download for free through the Security Tango. Because that encourages them to build more software. Nobody can afford to provide all of this stuff for free. Somebody's got to pay somebody something somewhere.
And there's a 25% off sale until it says midnight Sunday, March 1st, which was this morning, right? Technically,
right.
It was this morning.
Stop it.
Well, no.
It should be 11:59 is what they should
have. Midnight March 1st would be tonight.
No, because midnight is tomorrow.
Right.
No.
Right. Technically, yep. We've already had the midnight for March 1st. Sorry, that's just the way time works.
Did you celebrate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0?
Of course I did. I did a little dance in the privacy of my office with no cameras running.
I worry about you two, and I'm in the middle.
That's promoting a mental image that just frightens me.
All right, I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry.
My eyes have just been scorched.
With or without the cane, Nick? I gotta know.
It was without the cane.
Wow.
It was definitely, I just got up and did a little dance. I didn't say it was like a jig or a tango or a foxtrot, which, by the way, the new season of Dancing with the Stars will be out, so I'll get to see Cheryl every night. Steve Wozniak is on it, and luckily they're not dancing together, much as that would be kind of just both sides of my brain working together.
And I'm trying to picture you doing the shimmy.
I'm dang good at the shimmy, I'll tell you that right now. All right, we are, I'm afraid, done. Even though we had a whole hour and a half, we are actually at the end of the show. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. You will have to call earlier next week. I want to thank everyone who called in and apologize for all the things we said to them. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, the mighty Alex Vanderweel. I'm Nick Francesco. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.